change is coming at two Georgia universities. Earlier this year, the University System Board of Regents voted to merge Armstrong State University and Georgia Southern University. The new school will keep Georgia Southern's name. Since 2011, the university system has completed seven mergers. And here to talk about that is John Fuchko. He's the Vice Chancellor for Organizational Effectiveness with the University System of Georgia. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Celeste. Good morning.
So I assume that since you're the Vice Chancellor for Organizational Effectiveness, that these mergers, part of it might be about organizing more effectively, like not duplicating services. Is that accurate?
That's absolutely accurate.
And it saves money as well.
It does. That's not really our primary focus. Our primary focus is students and our academic programming for students, but we have certainly as a part of that realized savings, mainly at the administrative level.
So how does a merged university, and we don't know yet how these two will function as one, but we have seven other examples. So how does that affect, the mergers affect student services?
We've seen different, you know, each school's different, and they serve different groups of students across our system. They're different size institutions and so on. But one of the things, I'll give you an example, one of our schools, I believe it was at North Georgia, we had they really redirected funds to an academic advising center. So really increased the number of students who are being served with kind of that intrusive advising to make sure they're on the right track so they can graduate timely, you know, hopefully, you know, instead of 6 years, maybe something closer to five or four, certainly a goal most of us have.
Intrusive is another word for nagging, like constantly being involved, right?
As a parent, I would not characterize it that way, but probably some students might feel that way about it.
So GBB intern Emily Smith is a student at Armstrong State University, and she's also editor-in-chief of the student newspaper, The Inkwell. She has talked to some students at the Armstrong campus about their concerns. So here are the concerns she heard.
A lot of the concerns revolve around if we're even going to have student clubs and activities at the Savannah campus, or if everything will just, you know, be at Georgia Southern's. And also, students were concerned about how the Armstrong name will be preserved. I guess they want a way to honor the legacy of Armstrong and its history.
I mean, that seems to be fairly common. People get very nostalgic about where they went to school. That name means something to people, that name that's on their diploma in many cases. How do you preserve that legacy at the same time that you're losing the name?
I think you do it very deliberately. And I know that is one of the things that over the next, frankly, probably over the next couple of weeks, we're really looking into that. There's a proposal that has been brought forward by the Armstrong Alumni Association, which we know is being considered at the institution. We want, frankly, that recommendation to come up from the institution and from the students and the faculty and the staff and the alumni to say, how do we best recognize George and Lucy Armstrong and the Armstrong family name that's meant so much to Savannah going back to 1935?
Okay, so let's actually hear from one of the presidents. This is the president of Georgia Southern, Jamie Ebert. He says that he is okay. He thinks it makes sense to consolidate these schools.
We are the eighth consolidation in Georgia. Streamlining administrative cost to continue providing affordability and access to higher education. I think you're going to see this type of approach from states across the nation.
Why are we seeing so many mergers? Did we have too many schools?
I think if you look at what our system was designed to do and when it was designed to do it, it was in an era where technology, you know, was essentially non-existent from the perspective of online learning. Our ability to deliver education to the entire state of Georgia was really, in some ways, hemmed in by how far could you drive? And could students, traditional students, go off to an institution and, of course, get an education and that kind of traditional living in a dorm and so on? We're in a different era. We've got a lot of non-traditional students. Armstrong has a very large population of non-traditional students. So we really have to think in today's age with technology and everything that we've got in place, how do we best deliver public higher education to students today? And that's a lot of what our consolidation focus has been. How do we gear our system to support the entire state and do it in a way that's effective, do it in a way that's efficient, but do it in a way that ultimately increases educational attainment, i.e., more students with more degrees, and hopefully in a way that's also more affordable.
What is a non-traditional student?
I think the technical definition is either 25 or 26, and, you know, perhaps attending part-time, they're not taking a full load, they're probably holding down a job, perhaps they have a partner, perhaps they have children that they're taking care of.
It's pretty much anybody who's not straight out of high school.
That would probably be a very good definition. Exactly.
All right, so let's now hear from the president of Armstrong. This is Linda Bleichen, and she says, she echoes your sentiment that the whole thing is not just about saving money.
Some of the talking that is going on is not just about what is going to be given up, but rather what could be realized, what could be realized in new opportunities for students, what might be realized in new opportunities for the communities, both in Statesboro and Savannah, but also in Hinesville, where we have a third campus.
So what have been, in other mergers, what have been the increases she's talking about? What has gone up? You mentioned one that was academic advising, but have there been other places, other things, other aspects that have increased?
I mean, I think with several of our schools, I mean, you look at Georgia State, you look at, you know, at Kennesaw State and the mergers there, you look at particularly University of North Georgia and the growth that they've experienced. So certainly enrollment has increased, but, you know, there was a study done by an MIT professor, I think it came out probably several months ago, and one of the things it found that at consolidating schools is that the first year persistence, that there was a, you know, statistically significant difference in the right direction for those students. What that really means is you finish that first year, do you come back fall semester of that second year and
actually
continue on?
Which is a big problem, yeah.
It is, because if you don't, what do you walk out with at the end of your first year? You don't have a degree, you might have some debt, and you've done a year of college. We want our students to continue through. We want them to continue through in a way, though, that ultimately they get a degree. And they do it in a way that, you know, works for them and that they can turn around and get a job afterwards and improve the quality of life for themselves, their family, and for the state.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with John Fuchko. He's the Vice Chancellor for Organizational Effectiveness with the University System of Georgia. And we're talking about the merger, upcoming merger of Armstrong State University and Georgia Southern University. Let's hear once again from the president of Armstrong, Linda Bleichen. And we mentioned earlier one of the students was concerned about student activities. There's also concern about sports and the future of NCAA activities.
I think it will be matched by an increase in club sports and other opportunities for activities on the Armstrong campus in Savannah. So I think that as something goes away, the question is continuously being asked, how might we move something new and different in?
But the schools are going to lose something. I mean, there are going to be sports that some people may not be able to drive to, especially if you're talking about non-traditional students. How have we seen that play out in the past?
You know, it's played out a lot of different ways. I can tell you I was a former editor-in-chief of my student newspaper, so I can appreciate the Inkwell editor and those issues being raised. There is going to be a robust campus life at the Armstrong campus in Savannah. It's going to happen. We've seen that at other institutions. You're going to keep your student clubs. You know, Division I athletics, which is in place at Georgia Southern, the president, Hebert, has already made that commitment that we're going to see some of those sports in Savannah. This is about growing the opportunities for students. This isn't about, let's move everything to Statesboro. I know maybe that was out there in social media or somewhere. That didn't come from us.
It was on social media,
and it
yes.
It certainly is not the intent of what we're trying to do. You're going to see a robust campus life in Savannah. You have to. It's the right thing to do for those students, and it's the right thing to do for the future students of that campus.
How do you measure the success of a merger?
I think you do it all. First of all, that's a great question. But I think over a period of time, you see more people with degrees. In other words, you see hopefully better graduation rates, improvements there. You see hopefully students come through more quickly are some of the things that I would think we'd want to look for. You certainly look for savings, but really you look at how are those savings being redirected within the campus to support students. And we do pay, obviously very close attention to that as well. But at the end of the day, public higher education, we're about more degrees, more affordable, and doing it in a way that's efficient, because we're either using taxpayer dollars, or we're using students' tuition dollars, or we're using parents' tuition dollars, or we're using the Hope Scholarships dollars. It's a lot of other people's money. We have to use that in a way that best supports students.
Is there a way, should universities be held more accountable for raises in tuition, which has been a common complaint among students, that when universities have seen savings, that hasn't been passed on to the students?
I can tell you, you know, just looking over the past 5 years, and actually the state auditor did a study on this recently that came out, I think, in December of last year, and found that if you look at our cost to that and our tuition and so on, that we are actually very conservative in how we control our cost as a system. You also look at our average tuition increase. I think it's been about 2.5% over the last 5 years. And last year was 0%. So we've done an incredible amount of work to keep tuition costs low and to keep fees low, because, you know, fees is a big part of the cost of attendance. And if you look at where we were 6 or 7 years ago and you look at where we were today, minimal fee increases. And any fee increase that does come forward is something that, frankly, has gone through a process on the campus that involves student input. Student government's involved. Many times we're looking for a referendum from the students saying, this is something we support. And even then, we are pushing back and pushing back, hopefully very effectively, to keep those costs down.
Okay, so I realize that you can't name any specific schools, but is the university system considering more mergers? Could there be more in the horizon?
You know, I think we've said we're always thinking about potential consolidations in the future. It's something that we've had in place going back to 2011. You know, there's no particular school on the horizon right now today. Our focus today is really making sure our efforts at Georgia Southern and Armstrong and at Abraham Baldwin and Bainbridge are successful and that we deliver on the promises that we've made.
So in the minute that we have left, can you give me the timeline? How is the calendar look for this merger?
Absolutely. So you would, in September, we will turn in a prospectus, which is basically a plan, to the Southern Association for Colleges and Schools, the SAC COC. They'll presumably would vote on that in December, and pending their approval, the board would have 30 days to act on that to officially merge or consolidate the institutions, and that would be effective January of 2018. The actual process then of kind of pulling everything together from a kind of financial statement and where students enroll and get their financial aid and all
redoing
that.
Redoing letterhead.
That really, you see that take place over those next 6 months or so. And really, when you get into kind of July or fall of the fall of next year, is when you kind of start to feel it in terms of them coming together.
That is John Fuchko. He's the Vice Chancellor for Organizational Effectiveness with the University System of Georgia. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste.
That's our show for today, but we welcome your comments, especially if you are affected by the merger of Armstrong and Georgia Southern. Let us know what you think. What are you worried about? What are you hopeful for? You can call us at 404-500-9457, tweet us, or find us on Facebook. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great day.